Hi, welcome to Pen and Plume, a podcast for creative writers and imagination seekers. I'm D Betts. I want to thank you again for joining me today. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you. If you're a first-time listener, just to give you a quick layout of how the show runs, every episode we do a plume piece, which would be one of my signature short stories. We'll go over the inspiration for it afterward. And then we'll talk about the Push Your Pen segment, which is an opportunity for you to creatively write and join me. With no further ado, today's episode is titled Despair.
I hear them all around me, the claws tapping everywhere as they slowly take over the facility, and I'm stuck here in this dark room. I was separated from Niles hours ago. The last of us have perished. This plasma rifle between my legs is the only salvation left for me. I never thought I'd be driven to this point. Never thought I'd be faced with the option to have to off myself. But I noticed after the last few dogfights with those creatures, my eyes wander into the cartridge count. Not for the sake of saving ammo for the next fight, but for the one start inevitable. The mission seemed like a death trap from the beginning. The company specialized in these outbreak cleanups. Usually I'm against these crazy grinder tasks, but I'd done them before and turned the tide. Not so lucky this time. The creatures were organized. They scattered us and slowly picked us off. At first, I hated hearing the screams of my comrades in death. But now, I'd give an arm to hear one right now. Is this what hopelessness feels like? My mind is exhausted from pushing my senses to the max. So I think about family, places I've never been. Plans never ventured. I stopped thinking of a way out a while ago. Two failed attempts taught me better. Am I a coward for self-preservation? Or brave for seeing the truth of the situation? I want to go home. The smell of meals and hugs from my love are slowly fading, replaced with despair. Every time I hear those claws on the walls or floors nearby, my breath is stolen as my heart tries to leap out of my rib cage. I slip my finger around the trigger, wondering if this is finally it. Then they move along and I calm down again. Sometimes, I feel like they're playing a game with me. I wonder if Niles is okay. She isn't answering her comm line. The lines were destroyed hours ago, and this was her first mission after being transferred to our unit. I swore to myself that I would protect her. But it seems like the only promise that's guaranteeing warfare is death. A part of me wishes to hear her just one good time to make sure she's okay. But I already know in this hellhole, the only voice of hers that I'll be lucky enough to hear is a scream. And that would only bring a teasing moment of joy and then sorrow to follow. You know, she could still be... What was that? Something in the vent above. More claws outside. This time is different than the rest. They're here. They found me. And what's funny is, I'm more calm now than I've been the entire time I've spent in this room. I hear you breathing in that shaft. Are you scratching near the door? The jig is up. But guess what? This life is mine. You can't have it. Looks like it's time for my last meal. One plasma shot coming up. Damn you, company. Damn you, monsters. Good night.
And that was Despair. Despair was actually one of the first stories that I wrote and recorded when I was thinking about this podcast idea. Shout out to Noel Fontanez or Engine for helping me put that vision to life for the first time. Check out his music, nginemusic.com. That's N-G-I-N-E music.com. So jumping right into the inspiration, the word despair means the complete loss or absence of hope. I was sitting down one day just thinking about despair. What makes a person take their own life? I know that sounds a bit dark, but I wanted to think about what kind of conditions could be set for a person to feel despair in a fantasy sci-fi type of setting. And so I thought on one of my favorite movies or movie franchises, Alien, directed by Ridley Scott. So in that 1979 film, basically a commercial space crew encounters a very violent alien who comes onto their ship and they have to get rid of it. And the heroine, Ellen Ripley, played by Sigourney Weaver, she kills it and, you know, the story goes on. And when you think about it, those aliens are very violent in the way that they live. You know, they need human hosts or animal hosts to reproduce. And that's a natural thing for them. That's what's normal to them. But a lot of people ask, what is normal? You know, normal is relative depending on what the topic is or who you're talking about. Like, think about it. What's normal to a spider is chaos for the fly. And I want to explore a little bit more of that chaos. So one thing I did was I thought about a lot of human emotions. So we meet our main character in the middle of a deadly waiting game. He's in the middle of a place that had an outbreak that went totally into the left field. And he's experiencing tons of mental fatigue. So think about it. When he mentioned his senses were being pushed to the max with little to no stimuli around. When I picture the setting for where he's sitting, you know, I picture a dark room with a small, warm red light above the door, very similar to a photographer's dark room, if you will. That red light's called a safe light, by the way. And he's constantly listening to try to hear what's near him, when those aliens are gonna converge upon him. It's also a cold and dark environment, but I see him sweating because he's constantly on edge. Food and water is low or gone, so think about it, dry mouth to taste. There's not much smell there. It's a, you know, metal facility type thing, industrial. You know, there's not much to smell there. But then also explore his regrets. You know, he couldn't save a new recruit, Niles, as he spoke about. You know, a new recruit who started. He said he would take her under his wing, protect her. She ended up dying. Also, the job in general. A lot of times we tend to jump to the shoulda, woulda, couldas when things go bad. He knew his job and the different tasks that they were doing were dangerous, but he took them anyway, possibly to support a family. And also touch on that, you know, he misses his family, the warm cooked meals, the hugs, you know, all that. He's thinking of that environment while he is trapped where he is. And so then moving on to the creatures that we talk about. So Lost in Space, it's a sci-fi TV show in the 60s about a pioneering family of space colonists who are struggling to survive the depths of space. My first time being introduced to that show was in the form of a film adaptation in 98. And in that story, there's a betrayal and basically a arachnid-like creature is introduced. And one thing I've noticed is, you know, especially from my own mother, people are terrified of spiders. I don't know if it's the eight legs. Is it because they're unsightly and hairy? Is it because they're venomous? Is it how quickly they move? I'm not sure. People are very terrified of spiders. And I wanted to use those elements to scare the listeners a bit. If you hear in the narration, there's different claws, and I wanted them to have some kind of nails or claws on the end of their feet. You can hear the claws of the creatures moving around in the hallways outside and in the ventilation systems above him. But also too, I wanted to think of a hive-like swarm that could create the feeling of despair, you know, that feeling of being outnumbered. He's there by himself, these creatures are there, there's a hive, how can he get out? Especially with a low cartridge count on his plasma rifle. Well, plasma rifles, I mean, I think it's a cool weapon to think about, you know, shooting lasers. And tons of movies that you see, you know, including Alien, Battlestar Galactica, The Fifth Element, video games such as Doom, Halo. You know, I like seeing those kinds of weapons. And so I want to talk about that in the story as well. Throughout the story, I wanted to give you a glimpse of what our main character was experiencing in the moment, his thoughts from before, and the tragic ending. I normally don't do tragic endings, and this was so a way for me to explore that side. And I like how it turned out. So moving on to our Push Your Pin segment. Thank you again. I want to thank everyone again for participating, and I would love to see even more participation. I love reading you guys' stories and seeing what you guys are coming up with. So this episode's winner is AJ from Melbourne, Australia. International listeners. I have a buddy from Melbourne, Australia, who's been listening to the podcast. Him and I have been friends for a couple years now, and we've been sharing writings, and he sent in a piece here. The prompt that he chose was creating a character through their rituals. And so now I'll read for you his entry, Swallowed. September 26th. The nurses walk by tentatively, fully aware that any action, word, or movement could result in the elderly woman staring into nothingness, stiff like a statue, to shift into a mess of tears and confusion. A sudden perplexed jumble of despair and fragility, unable to be reasoned with or reassured, whom the staff couldn't break through. A young visitor strolled by quickly. As she noticed her black hair that was pulled back tightly into a bun, the old woman began her wailing. Her hand that clasped to her mouth did little to soften the noise as she hurriedly left the lounge room and slammed her bedroom door tight. The nurses had given up attempting to coax her back. To ensure she was fed and didn't miss functions, for such rituals were regular, yet unpredictable and complex. For they couldn't unpack her mind, it was like a map that had no clues. She was the sun on a winter's day. To look at the winter sun through a window, you'd never know it's different. But the moment you're touched by its lack of warmth, it's so powerfully apparent. To look at her, you can't tell. She hides it, inside the lies, behind the tears. September 27th. She sits at the dining room table as the sun that pierces across the room highlights her weathered skin. Aimlessly, she shoves food into her mouth. Her eyes gaze downwards in a demeanor that radiates an aching to be ignored. A sudden roar of thunder sends shrieks and oohs and ahs through the dining room table as she, unfazed, continues to eat. Then, an abrupt curtain of heavy rain splashes against the window. Her fork makes a ping as it hits the ground as she throws her body to the floor, curls into the corner and rocks back and forth, crying hysterically, oblivious to the concerned stares and looks of disapproval, shrieking, "Limada, limada, limada!" September 28th. The band's music floats through the air. The violin spoke to her. She can feel its fragility through every string, and every chord speaks her pain. Just hanging on the wind. The instruments gradually simmer to silence and the old people erupt in applause and standing ovations. She sits and watches, as though an outsider. The call for dinner is made and she walks to the bathroom to wash her hands. The dripping tap grabs her attention. Frozen, the dripping tap coincides with the dripping tears as she stops it, bites her lip, and scuttles to her room. Tears flood. Her face in the room before her blurs so she can't see, but she can hear. Everywhere she turns, she hears. She can still hear the bombs. They have all of her. They own her. Trap her and have twisted and contorted her into a brittle child and left her as cold as stone. They haunt her, chase her, suppress her into a shell of who she used to be. A person she can no longer remember. The pain is too real. Every time she reconnects with the moment of the past, her friend who wore her black hair in a bun, the sudden heavy rain in winter, how her brother would sometimes not turn off the tap properly, it all comes back. The bombs keep falling every day. Every day she lives it again. It's locked deep within her, imprisoned in the cage of her own mind, forever holding her captive. She can close her eyes, but her ears forever hear the echoes. Nobody understands. Loneliness keeps knocking. She chooses to shut herself away from the world. She just wants to lose her sanity, to give her some relief. There's nobody left that she wants to hold her hand. Where are the good hearts? She can't trust any. She can barely keep the beat of her own. Today is her birthday. She hopes it's her last. She can't celebrate. There's nothing to celebrate now. Her body trembles as she slowly rocks back and forth, watching the outside world pass by her window. She sits in the darkness and just listens. There's something so terribly sad, hearing a phone ring through the darkness in an empty room. A sadness of the deepest kind. That was Swallowed by AJ. A very somber piece about the rituals of trauma and their many triggers. So with AJ being the winner of this episode's Push Your Pen segment, he'll be receiving a notepad with his favorite tennis player on the front. Little inside joke there. So now to this week's Push Your Pen prompts. So remember, with each episode of Pen and Plume, I will be giving you word prompts to participate in the Push Your Pen segment. Remember, those daily prompts include a word, a random genre or setting, and literary device, which can be plot, character, setting, conflict, or symbol. So for next week's Push Your Pen segment, the word is fry. The random genre: personify an object around you, your shoe, for example. What does it say? And the literary device, conflict. You are guarding the door to prevent them from entering. There are people inside you must protect. What is happening? So again, that's fry. Personify an object around you. What does it say? And conflict. You are guarding the door to prevent them from entering. There are people inside you must protect. What is happening? Make sure to send those prompts to penandplumepodcast@gmail.com. Well, that's it. Thank you again, my people, for joining me for another episode of Pen and Plume. I appreciate you. Please make sure you share this so other people can hear about it and participate as well. And thank you again for listening to Pen and Plume, a podcast for creative writers and imagination seekers. Pick up your pen and make it fancy with your plume. Continue writing and come again.